Hello and welcome. Thanks so much for joining us right here. Press TV's News Analysis coming to you from Tehran. I'm Marzieh Hashemi. Well, on the brink of war, is this the way relations between Syria and Turkey can be described, as the Turks have shelled Syria for another day? Now, Turkish TV has claimed that the shelling on Saturday has killed at least 10 Syrian soldiers. Ankara says it is a response to shells fired from Syria. Now, Damascus says it is investigating the initial shelling from Syria, which killed five Turks. Many political analysts say that the area has many rebels and is more likely that those fighting the Syrian government want to bring in other players, especially Turkey. We'll be taking a look at the intensified tensions between Damascus and Ankara and what it may mean.
Turkey deploys more tanks to the border with Syria. Ankara beefs up its troops along the border amid high tension with Damascus. A mortar round allegedly fired from the Syrian side lands in Turkish territory. The crater created by the mortar shell in the ground. Turkish villagers say the mortar round came from the Syrian side around 4 a.m.
It came from the Syrian side around 4 a.m. and hit here. Smoke rose into the air. We gathered and called the police. The forensics team came along with the commander or general. They inspected and took lots of shrapnel pieces.
Turkish officials say they are sure the mortar was fired by Syrian government forces. In response to the attack, Turkey has fired another salvo of shells into the Syrian territory. Ankara also shelled Syria after another mortar hit its soil on Thursday. The Turkish parliament has passed a bill authorizing the government to hit targets beyond borders if necessary. The parliamentary approval triggered anti-war protests in major cities. The protesters held banners reading Savaşa Hayır, which is the Turkish term for no to war. The anti-war rallies turned violent after security forces intervened to disperse the demonstrators.
We are against all the war propaganda that's led in this country by different news channels. We are aware that there are many international news channels that are trying to provoke war. The United States wants Turkey to enter war against Syria, because there is elections coming in the United States. Obama doesn't want to send American troops, so they want that the Turkish army serves as their tool, but we don't want to be part of the bloodshed in the Middle East. We want to live peacefully with our neighbors, and we don't want to be part of that plot.
A recent poll shows that a clear majority of Turks oppose war with Syria. This is at odds with the stance of the Turkish government towards its Arab neighbor. Turkey is hosting a large number of insurgents who are fighting against the Syrian government, and the insurgents sneak freely into Syria from Turkey, where they are trained at special camps and have a command center.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guest to the program from Middle East Center for Studies and Research, Mr. Mofid Jaber from Beirut. Political analyst, Mr. Joe Eiselbaker from Chicago in the United States. And former American intelligence linguist, Mr. Scott Richard, joining us via Skype from Orlando, Florida. Welcome, all of you, to the program. Well, I'd like to start it off in Beirut with Mr. Jaber. Now, Mr. Jaber, during any clash, the first question that would usually be asked is, what would the aggressing party actually gain from that type of aggression? What would Damascus have to gain right now for wanting to provoke Ankara?
Syria has nothing to gain from an attack on Turkey. Rather, those who would gain from an attack on Turkey would those who would want Turkey to intervene in Syria. So the most likely scenario is that a third party launched these rockets into Turkey in order to force Turkey into intervening inside of Syria, or because an attack on Turkey would also be interpreted as an attack on a NATO member, and this would also force a NATO attack against Syria. So whoever launched these attacks on Turkey obviously wanted for Turkey to retaliate, and along with Turkey, possibly the entire other NATO armies.
Okay, well, turning to Chicago now, I want to compare two different incidents, because back in May of 2010, we know that the Turkish aid trip going to Gaza was attacked and killing 9 nationals by the Israelis. Now, of course, Ankara had complained verbally, but never really did anything. And now 5 nationals have been killed with the situation from Syria that the Syrians are saying that the military is saying that it's not their responsibility, that they were not responsible for. Why do we see such a different reaction in dealing with these two incidents?
Well, I think that's a very good juxtapositioning. It's been said that Turkey is responding to the shelling of the border town, but I think in truth, Turkey is responding to orders from its puppet master, the United States government. And what Turkey is doing has to be condemned in the strongest possible terms. And I think pretty clearly that the people of Turkey agree with that, that this is a move towards war, not in the interest of the Turkish people, certainly not in the interest of peace, but at the bidding of the United States government.
Well, what about that, Scott Richard? Is it because Ankara is saying, on the one hand, that it does not want war with Damascus, but what we see is an intensification. Is Ankara basically listening to the orders of Washington, D.C., or is it something else behind what seems to be motivated to have war with Syria?
Well, Joe is absolutely correct. Turkey is doing the bidding for NATO. NATO has been very clear about wanting to go to war with Syria. If you look what they've been doing, they've been going to the UN over and over again, and thank God for China and Russia keeping the US out of Syria. There's no doubt that that you've got Western powers here who are on a mission, and they're trying to take out Syria. And doing the bidding for NATO right now is Turkey. Now, that being said, we're talking about a few mortars that were launched out of Syria, and probably less than a few dozen or less than a dozen or so mortars that were launched back into Syria from Turkey. So it's a very small event. There's a lot of activity going on around Homs. There's a lot of activity going around the Bekaa Valley near Libya. And there's also a lot of activity going on very near Aleppo, where they've taken out some of the commander positions in Aleppo. Right now, Syria is being very successful at putting down the Western intervention. So the West is becoming desperate, and they're using their relationships with NATO and with Turkey to escalate the war and trying to justify it. But absolutely, Syria is not attacking Turkey, and this is something that that is being orchestrated by the West.
Well, what about that, Mr. Jaber? With the situation that is extremely sensitive, how risky is this for the Turkish government itself? Because as our guest has pointed out, that many of the Turkish people are not for any type of war with Syria.
Any Turkish attack on Syria would most very probably prove to be very unpopular in Turkey, because as we know, the majority of the Alevi population in Turkey opposes Erdogan's stance with regards to Syria. And the Alevi population in Turkey represents approximately 25% of the population. You also have the Kurdish minority in Turkey, which forms a great part of the Turkish population, and which as well is opposed to any Turkish military intervention inside of Syria, and any such move by Erdogan would probably backfire on him and would cause these minorities and those who are opposed to his party to be much more vocal in their opposition. And also, he might find opposition from within his party, those who do not want to endanger Turkey's relations with Syria, because Erdogan is regarded as having miscalculated the way he has dealt with the situation in Syria. He thought that the change in Syria would be very swift. And now, even within his party, he is finding opposition regarding his stance with regards to Syria.
Well, what about that, Mr. Eisenbaker? Is it that Erdogan does not understand the parameters that he's dealing with? Why would he, according to many analysts, listen to Washington, even perhaps at the risk that this could actually cause the end of his government and likely cause a lot of problems inside of Turkey itself?
I think that the statement was made earlier that Turkey is growing desperate, but I think, in fact, it's the United States that is desperate. Ever since the military loss that the United States has suffered in Iraq, and now it's becoming clearer that the United States is suffering a military defeat as well in Afghanistan, all of the minds, the great minds in both parties in Washington have been puzzling how to turn around and advance the U.S. empire's plan for Asia and the Middle East. Last year, when the Arab Spring emerged, they saw that as an opening, and they have been, as we say in the Midwest, making hay while the sun shines. And I think that Turkey is basically a puppet, and they are acting at the bidding of the puppet master. They're not the only ones, of course. The Saudis, the Qatar government, are also directly intervening in Syria's internal affairs. It's been referred to as a civil war. I'm in the United National Anti-War Coalition. We don't see it as a civil war. We see it as an intervention by Western-backed Middle Eastern states, by NATO, and first and foremost by our own government.
Why do you think they continue to use the term, especially in mainstream media, about civil war, what you've just brought out?
Well, that's part of the strategy, the color revolution strategy that the United States has been using. I mean, it's always used it, but they've been using it more and more over the last 20 years. You know, what the Bush administration did in 2001 and 2003 was an anomaly, a direct invasion with hundreds of thousands of troops and an occupation. Their preferred method is to operate through local opposition, to fund them, which is what they're trying to do in Iran as well. And this is their preferred method, and the anti-war movement here is becoming more and more clear about the nature of this strategy. We have to oppose it and see this not as a civil war, not as a fight between different groups within Syria, but as a war fomented entirely from outside of Syria's borders.
Okay, well, turning back to Scott Richard. Now, many political analysts are saying that this is a strategy of the United States, basically to let Muslim countries fight it out with each other and wait for the smoke to clear and take care of the rest. How do you see this situation? Is it that the United States really wants Turkey to get in a direct confrontation with Syria?
Well, Turkey getting into a direct confrontation with Syria is really not the case. They were hoping to use intervention early on in this and get NATO support coming in at the bid of the UN. And Turkey now has to step up and really provide an avenue for them to make even more excuses. Just as Joe was saying, this is a systemic problem with the United States warfare that we've conducted across the world. And this is something that's not new. This is something that's been going on for some time. It's happened in Libya just recently. They wanted to repeat what they did in Libya. And by taking down the organizations, it makes them easier to control the countries. They can use the enemies within the country to fight the wars for them. Just as Joe described, it's an old strategy. It's worked for centuries. And what they try to do is break down the existing government, and they go to the factions within and then weaken the country. And by weakening the country, It makes it a far less opponent against the Western objectives. And the Western objectives are clear here. They're to control the resources and to financially fix their banking, their failed banking system. The U.S. Is involved in an incredible banking failure. Europe's involved in an incredible banking failure. And countries like Iran and Libya and other countries that have not depended on the petrodollar are doing just fine.
Okay. Well, Mr. Eisenberger, you're nodding your head in agreement. Is this all about the financial collapse of the West and trying to prevent that? Is this what this whole situation is that's taking place in Syria?
Well, I do agree with that. The United States and its allies in the wealthy nations of the G8 and NATO, this spring in Chicago, for the first time in 40 years, the G8 and NATO planned a summit together. And for us, we organized a protest of 15,000 people against their summit. In the end, the G8 was withdrawn from Chicago. But the message to us was clear. The economic crisis, the economic interests of the wealthy nations are directly linked with their military strategy. They are trying to make up through military means for their failures in the economic realm.
Well, Mr. Jomber, what does that mean then? Does that mean that these, Turkey is not technically called a monarchy or a regime supposedly more democratic, but if we're looking at Erdogan and we're looking at the Qatari government, we're looking at the Saudis, does that mean that they're willing to sell out their own people, not just let us forget Syria for a little bit, but especially Turkey, ready to risk the security in their own countries for the sake of these Western countries' financial situation?
First of all, we cannot compare Turkey to Saudi Arabia and Qatar. Saudi Arabia and Qatar are direct vassals of the United States, and their entire foreign policy is based on being aligned with the interests of the U.S. Now, it is to a lesser extent the same with Turkey, because the U.S. Erdogan came largely because the U.S. wanted him to gain power, and he came through very strong backing of his party on part of the U.S. But the situation in Turkey is not entirely the same as it is in Saudi Arabia and Qatar. But still, yes, there is no doubt that Erdogan is greatly miscalculating his stance with regards to Syria. And there is no doubt that Turkey indeed did receive instructions on part of the U.S. in order to engage the way that it is engaging with regards to the Syrian government. But it is different from Saudi Arabia and Qatar. But still, since there's a great proportion of the Turkish population is opposed to the stance of the AK Partisi with regards to Syria and Erdogan's government, we can see this as Erdogan endangering Turkey's international standing and his party's own standing within Turkey, for the sake of following through with the instructions of the U.S.
Well, what does that mean, Mr. Eisenberger? If that is the case, that he is just following orders, do you think that we're likely to see more and more protests by the Turkish people themselves, putting more pressure on Ankara?
I think that's inevitable, especially if the escalation increases. I think that Turkey and NATO, they're trying to present that world public opinion is against the government of Syria. And similarly, the United States tries to portray that the government of Iran has world public opinion against it. I was in New York 2 weeks ago for a dinner meeting where President Ahmadinejad spoke, And a number of the American peace activists who were there remarked that, in fact, Iran is not isolated on the world stage. Iran just hosted last month the conference of the non-aligned movement with 120-some nations, far more nations than recognize the state of Israel and have diplomatic relations with the state of Israel, I would add, and representing, I think, a simple majority of the world's population. And the United States is desperate, and Turkey's government, I understand the distinction that Mr. Jabbar has made, but Turkey's government is being prodded forward. And I will still, vassal states, that's a fine term for the monarchies on the Gulf, but Turkey's government is a puppet in this war. I mean, just a few years ago, they had warm ties with Syria. There's no explanation other than outside interests. And every time a great nation compels a poor nation to act in the interest of the great nation, the United States, an imperialist country, the people in Turkey are going to resent it in the same way that they've already expressed. So, yes, I believe that the crisis will grow.
Now, Mr. Richard, because we're just about out of time, what needs to be done in order to de-escalate these tensions? Because as we're speaking now, there's a military buildup right now on the border with Syria and Turkey by Turkish military. So now, what needs to be done to de-escalate?
Well, unfortunately, what needs to be done is in the United States. The problem is rooted in the United States and Great Britain and France. And the only country that can actually stop it would be the United States. What you have in Turkey is, as been clearly described here, is a nation of people that do not want war. Unfortunately, you have a government that's heavily aligned with the NATO forces and aligned with Israel. You have to look at Turkish relationships with Israel. There's a lot of trade, military trade, and petroleum trade between Israel and Turkey. So the interests from an economic perspective between Israel and Turkey is very strong. And also, you also have to look at the actual national security advisors in the United States. We're talking the United States, the national security advisor behind Mitt Romney is a guy named Dov Zakim. Dov Zakim is an extreme Zionist. And then also under Obama, you have Rich Verma. Rich Verma is also another extreme Zionist. So we have a very pro-Israel, a very pro-Zionist, and a super control over Turkey, where I have to agree with Joe, Turkey's becoming more of a puppet, where in the past they've been very closely aligned with Syria.
All right. Well, unfortunately, we are out of time, but I'd like to thank all my guests for being with us from the Middle East Center for Studies and Research, Mr. Mofit Jabbar in Beirut, and political analyst in Chicago, Mr. Joe Eisbaker, as well as former American intelligence linguist, Mr. Scott Richard in Orlando. Thanks so much for being with us, all of you. And viewers, thank you for joining us. Join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us, and goodbye.